since you broke the chains. When love came down and set me free.
Well, praise the Lord. We want to talk about this prophetic timeline from Scripture. And the first event that we see, we currently live in the age called the church age. The church is alive and well. Unfortunately, Jerusalem is being trodden down by Gentiles, even now. And Jesus predicted that until the age of the Gentiles is fulfilled. The age of the Gentiles is the age where God is saving Gentiles by His grace, calling them into His church, and making them one body with Jewish believers. So there's one body of Christ all over the world that know Jesus and love Jesus, regardless of denomination, regardless of anything like that. Those who know Christ are one body, whether Jew or Gentile or Baptist or Presbyterian or Methodist or anything else, praise God. And so we live in this church age, but we're coming up to a new prophetic event. And this future event is the resurrection of the righteous and the wicked. And I have four verses of Scripture that show us that there is a resurrection from the dead. A literal, physical, bodily resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And the first verse of Scripture we're going to look at is Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. We're going to look at these, but I gave you the sheets here so that you can not only look at the sheets before you, but you can take them home and look at all these verses in their proper context. It's important that you look at them in context. Read the whole chapter. Read that which comes before it, that which comes after it, and you'll find that you learn more that way. All right, Daniel 12:2 says this, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Everybody understand that? Daniel 12:2. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. In Acts 24:15, this is Paul testifying before kings and rulers. The Bible says that he would do that. He said that we would do that. It says, "And we have hope toward God, which they themselves allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust." And I'm going to skip up to Revelation 20 and verse 6. It's a shorter verse. It says, "And blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." I'm going to tell you this. The first resurrection is the resurrection of the righteous dead. That's people who know the Lord as their Savior, but they die physically. Like my dad passed away. His body went into the grave. His spirit is now with Christ in heaven, because Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's not sleeping somewhere. His body is, but his spirit and soul are with Christ in heaven. But there will come a time when his spirit, the Bible says in Thessalonians, God will bring the spirits of the dead that are in heaven with him. And they will go into their resurrected bodies and will rise to meet the Lord in the air, along with the living saints who are changed in a twinkling of an eye and rise to meet the Lord in the air. Now let's look at verse John 5, 25 through 29. "Verily, verily, I say unto you." You know what? It just occurred to me. I didn't finish reading our Revelation text. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So there's a resurrection of the righteous, and then those who are resurrected live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. After that 1,000 years is that second resurrection. It's the resurrection of the wicked dead. They stay in their graves another 1,000 years while we rule and reign with Christ on the earth. Then they are raised from the dead, stand before God, and are judged. And because their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible says they're cast into the lake of fire." All right? That's the second death. That's what it's talking about in verse 6. If you read the 20th chapter of Revelation, you'll see all of this is written out there. It's plain as day there in Revelation 20. Now, these words would be written in red in your Red Letter Edition, John 5:25 through 29. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. In our text in Daniel, Acts, and John, it talks about the resurrection of the wicked and the righteous. But only in Revelation 20 does it give us a clue that there's a 1,000-year span of time between these two resurrections. Everybody understand that? All right. The next point that we're going to talk about is a specific resurrection. It's the resurrection of the righteous. Revelation 20 and verse 6 again. Blessed and holy is he that has part of the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now let's look at Paul's writing. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 55. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We being the church. That's who he's addressing. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Someone one time said that the twinkling of an eye is 11/100ths of a second. I don't know how they calculate that. I think it has to do with the speed of light and the depth of the eye and the amount of time it takes for it to reflect. But it's pretty fast, 11/100ths of a second. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Praise God. So that's the event we're looking for. Both the resurrection of the righteous and the instantaneous change of the living saints changed into the image of Jesus. He writes further, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What's that? He's talking about a new body. A body that's made like Jesus' glorified body. You remember when he was raised from the dead, he said, handle me, see, a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have. We'll have a flesh and bones body. It was a body that was able to eat. He said, do you have any children? Have you any meat? And they said, we have raw fish and a honeycomb. And they ate it. He ate right there in their presence. He was tangible. He said, handle me and see. The wounds were still in his hands and feet and in his side. But I don't believe we're going to have any flaws or any defects. I believe that those marks are still going to be there only so that he can show them on the day he appears at the Mount of Olives, and they will look upon him whom they pierced. They'll see those marks. Those are the only scars I believe will be in heaven. There you go. That's my opinion, all right? But I believe that nobody will have any marks or scars or anything like that, any blemishes in heaven. Praise the Lord. Now let's go on. It says, for in this, meaning this physical body we have now, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up by life. Now he that wrought us for the self same thing is God, who has given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, and this is what we talked about before, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. So what happens when a Christian dies? They immediately, their spirit goes to God, and their awake, alert, and oriented in the presence of the Lord. They know even as they are known. They're conscious. They're not in soul sleep. They're not waiting. They're not in darkness. But they're alive. They're with the Lord. Praise God. David said this. He said, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. So it's a joyful place. We know that this is a good thing. Now we also know from what Jesus said in Luke 16 that the wicked die and they're not unconscious either. Because that rich man, it said he was in flames. He remembered his life in the past, how he received good things and Lazarus had received evil things. He could smell the smoke. He could feel the flames. He could feel thirst. He could feel remorse and regret. And he even felt fear and worry and dread because his brothers were headed for the same place he was and begged that Abraham would send somebody from the dead to witness to them. Amen? So there's a conscious life after death. The moment we die, we leave one consciousness of earth to either the consciousness of being with God in heaven or in a place of torment. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Paul says, our conversation, this word conversation isn't you and I talking to each other. It's literally our lifestyle or our life. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. So we're going to have a body like what? Like his glorified body. The body that he had when he rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples. Now, in fact, what John saw on the Isle of Patmos was feet like brass, eyes like fire, hair like wool. Now, that's a glorified body. That's astounding. They fell at his feet as dead. And I'm inclined to believe that that's the glorified body that we'll be like when we're with him, because we'll be clothed in the glory of God, made in his exact image and likeness. And the image and likeness of something is an exact duplicate or an exact replica. If you made something in the image of something else, it would be a copy. And so I believe that if someone were to see you in your glorified body, they'd just fall out on the floor. Wow, what in the world is that? I've never seen anything like it before. Trembling. It was an angel that Daniel saw that caused him to tremble and quake in fear. And so I believe that Christians' glorified bodies will be like that. For you have been good to me.